We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Everybody and their mother knows that, particularly when it comes to Boston, if we could have a white superstar, that would be even better.
Dale Arnold.
I talked to Rob last night, man. He won't even tell me. He said he hasn't made a decision yet. He is healthy, which I'm excited to say.
Rich Keefe. Dale and Keefe, middays.
You don't have a favorite movie?
Do that.
I am never able to just say that's my favorite movie of all time.
It's
like
all
Night's Tale.
Night's Tale.
After all this, he drops Night's Tale.
No, I didn't say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sometimes I think the show before the show is more fun than the show.
Sometimes.
I mean, you think about, you know, simple little things, and we were trying to, like, we were almost late today, you know, because we were in the other room.
Yeah, minding our own business.
Well, we had two debates going. One was how good the new Aladdin movie is going to be.
I don't think that great. Dale says it looks good.
I thought the trailer looked
you
better
like trailers.
Than I expected.
I've noticed you like trailers. Like you also liked the Baywatch trailer with The Rock.
Well, I just like
you
the
said
Rock.
That. No, okay,
like
so the there
Rock.
You go.
Dale likes trailers, but can't name his favorite movie. That's
no,
what we
well,
liked.
Night's Tale.
He well, came I didn't up with say Night's my Tale. Favorite movie. I said one of. And then the other thing that we had this big debate about in the other room.
Yes,
is the worst talker in wrestling history.
Who's the worst on the microphone?
Yeah,
yeah.
Now
some
Rossi,
say Ronda Rousey.
Rossi
that's why
was making the case for Ronda Rousey. I said, did you not hear Chris Benoit?
Dale, we're not supposed to talk about Chris Benoit.
We're allowed to.
No, I don't think we can. I don't think we can.
Dark.
No, Rossi didn't say it was Rousey. He was trying to defend her a little bit. That was what he was trying to say. So that sounds like a good episode for a podcast. So let it rip sometime. Yeah, there you
if
go.
People just
thinking
had,
emoji.
Had any idea what it was like off the air here. We're so much more interesting. That's the problem.
You think so?
No.
I'm the same
not
person
even a little.
Every step of the way,
no,
Dale.
We're pretty much the same.
That's right.
Why is it?
Yes.
When we are presented with the exact thing we should expect, we express surprise.
Oh, God, that's kind of deep.
Well, I...
How the, far do you want me to go
pretty,
down that
it's
road?
It's pretty zen-like.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Tell me what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are doing differently from every other year Bill Belichick has run this franchise. With very few exceptions,
mm-hmm.
Adalys Thomas might be one of them. He stays away from the start of free agency. You know, his wheelhouse is two weeks in, 3 weeks in, when he swoops
right,
in and
right.
gets guys who make much more sense financially than these early free agency deals.
Because we've seen now about 20 years worth of, you know, off seasons, essentially, of him preparing for the next year and different things that he's done. And so there are examples like Adalys Thomas. There's also examples like Stephon Gilmore.
They were the two I came up with.
Right. They you know. Well, they traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, right? That was all just a couple of years ago. So I think my hope was, I'm not shocked that Trey Flowers is gone. I don't think you could be shocked that Trey Flowers is gone.
We expected it.
But I did hold out a little bit of hope that he would have been another version of Devin McCourty or Dante Hightower, where both of those guys you knew were going to be highly sought after free agents. They both got, you know, looks and offers from other teams. Then they come back to the Patriots and they say, all right, this is what our offer is. And the Patriots said, all right, we'll match that. And then they end up coming back. So I was hoping that, because we have seen guys play to the end of their rookie deals and then ultimately come back to the Patriots. So I was holding out just like a little bit of hope for that. But then when you heard the news, I mean, Detroit's just trying to assemble the Patriots anyway.
This is
so,
what they do.
Yeah. This no, you can't freak out about
exactly
it.
This is exactly how he operates. This is right. Like I was listening this morning and Callahan was talking about the pop-a-top pictures of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good.
So he's, you know, he's
looking
at a resort
good.
With
yeah.
his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, he's in the water. And
did I hear he's in Barbados?
Yes.
You know, I went to Barbados.
Did you?
Yeah, not too long ago. How'd it go? Pretty good. That's where Rihanna's from. That's why we went. Big Rihanna.
Went,
no, that's not why.
No.
That's not
that
why.
That would have been so good if that
the whole
true.
Island's a buzz about Rihanna down there. It's a really, it's a nice island. I don't think I'd necessarily ever go again. But it was nice. Bill's probably staying at a better place than I did.
They said about $3,000 a night.
That was not that was not the case for us. I think maybe the whole trip was less than that. But anyway, so good for Bill. He's having a good time.
But Jerry's point was, It's the first day of free agency. What the hell's he doing on a beach in Barbados? Why isn't he back? You think he's dancing into the... Take a look at the contracts that have been given out so far.
I honestly think it's an extra slap in the face to the league.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's a power move.
They're freaking out. These guys are probably not going to sleep, or they're staying at the office and all this stuff. Meanwhile, Belichick is walking around with his shirt off in Barbados, and they're going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl again next year. Right, I mean, they're just this is what they do. It was funny. One of the Twitter trolls out there brought back one of my old tweets from last year, where I was talking about how Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, Danny Amendola all signed with other teams. There was actually rumors last year that and I forgot about this. So I'm glad they retweeted this, that Michael Bennett. The Patriots almost got Michael Bennett last year.
Tried.
Remember, they were like a finalist to get Michael Bennett, and they didn't.
Well, and if you believe the reports, because they never say it.
Yeah. And they all thought that the point of that tweet was like, oh, I'm freaking out about the Patriots. But it's more just a reality, because I didn't want them to sign Nate Solder for that money. I didn't want them to sign Danny Amendola for that money. They didn't need Deion Lewis. I was just more pointing out that they're top free agents. They have no problem letting those guys go. They're going to get the compensatory picks. They're also going to find a way to fill out the rest of the roster, because guess what? They always do. And they're going to be just fine. But I don't know what other examples you need than year after year, the Washington Redskins go out there and spend $1 zillion and never win anything.
Mike Lombardi tweeted out earlier today. He said Detroit is spending crazy money and overpaying. Now, the buzz in Detroit is, oh my God, look what Bob Quinn's doing. Matt Patricia's going to have a cupboard full. Then you look at
really?
The numbers and you know, you say, they're paying Justin Coleman.
Justin Coleman.
$9 million a year for 4 years. Now, he won't see that. I understand that. It's not.
I know,
the play money.
But
Justin Coleman.
Former Patriot. That's why he's on the team.
$9 million a year.
So Danny Amendola, Trey Flowers, Justin Coleman are going to make, what, over $30-something million, just those three guys?
Yep.
That seems like a lot.
It seems like probably not a path to turning around your franchise.
And it's going
to
make Matt Patricia look a lot worse when they say, hey, you have all these guys that
now
Belichick
you got
won
your guys.
With. You have all these guys that Belichick won a Super Bowl with, and you can't, you know, get into the playoffs with this team. So it's going to make him look a lot worse. They have so many Patriots on their team right now. It's ridiculous. But you knew that Matt Patricia and Brian Flores were both going to want Trey Flowers. So now the next thing is...
And by the way, good for Trey Flowers.
I think everybody's happy for
him.
Yeah.
Good for him. He was a good soldier here. He worked hard. He did everything they ever asked.
Yeah.
He subjugated statistics for the good of the team.
Still got the payday, though.
Always showed up. I mean, good for him.
And now the question is, how do you replace him? And I was hoping that Michael Bennett wasn't a replacement and was rather a teammate, but it seems like Michael Bennett's your answer. Right? Michael Bennett, I mean, do you bring back Adrian Claiborne? I know he's under contract. You hope that Derek Rivers or Dietrich Wise kind of emerge, and then they can always draft the position again. They've used a lot of middle-round picks, second, third, fourth-round picks on that, or really third, fourth-round picks on that position. So maybe they try to go in the draft once again. We've heard so many times about how they have six picks in the first 101. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went there again, hoping to find maybe the next Trey Flowers.
We just, and I've been listening, you know, callers that we've taken, callers to other shows on the station, and I've been listening, and fans up in arms. This is what we predicted was going to happen in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. We said when they hit free agency, there's going to be this hue and cry. What the hell is Belichick doing?
Well, but have you heard that, though? I don't know.
Oh, yes. No, calls. Come on, you got to pay money on somebody.
Well, that's true, but it's not done yet, and they still have an opportunity to do that.
They'll be doing their free agent signing about 2 weeks from now,
or it'll be trades, right? I think if some of these top guys are starting to join teams, and some of the top guys were your own guys, so if they're going to really get involved in free agency, there's some of those receivers out there like Golden Tate. Although, did you see Rossi's guy, Devin Funchess, got signed? Snapped up?
I saw Rossi was a little
Devin
distraught
Funchess?
About that.
You're sad?
The chunky
I
Devin
was
Funchess
really upset until I saw the number.
$13 million for 1 year of Devin Funchess.
No, thank you.
How slappy is that?
He's still going to have like 10-plus touchdowns for the Colts, but...
So, he's not. And if you're Rob Gronkowski, if you're Gronk, isn't that Exhibit A? You're like, Devin Funchess makes $13 million, and I'm only making $9 million? And Gronk's not even coming off a good year, but neither is Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess is never coming off of a good year. There hasn't been a good Devin Funchess year. But anyway, the Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised if a trade, like the biggest name player they bring in, could potentially be with some kind of deal. But they're going to have money to spend. I mean, Trent Brown gone, Trey Flowers gone, and they still got a few of their other own free agents. Maybe they bring some of those guys back, but those were the high price guys.
I would assume they've got to get a contract done with Brady of some sort.
Yes.
I doubt you're going to let him go into the final year of his deal. My guess is there will be some sort of an extension here, which will put upfront money in his pocket, but lower the cap price. You just look at some of the, and I know, by the way, the cap's gone up. I think it's $188 million this year.
All right.
It's gone up every year. When they first put the cap in place, the salary cap in the NFL was $34 million. This year, it's $188.
I was going to say, the Steelers are paying Antonio Brown that much to play for them.
So you look at some of the deals.
Yeah.
I mean, Trent Brown, the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. Now, I liked him. He was good.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Landon Collins, now the highest paid safety. So the Redskins have the highest paid safety and the highest paid corner. And yet they have, what, Case Keenum as their quarterback? So, I mean, the offseason, these teams get, what happens is they're coming off bad years. So to appease their fan base, I feel like they think they have to win the offseason. And they'll say, hey, I know we were 8-8, but look how aggressive we are. And you know, Matt Patricia was terrible, so we're going to go get Trey Flowers. And even in Detroit, they got to be saying, really, is this going to be the answer? Like, are we going to really turn the team around with this guy? Meanwhile, the Patriots are just kind of, they make the Michael Bennett trade. Belichick goes on vacation. You got the draft in another month, and we'll see you then.
So the storyline, here's how silly it gets. The storyline in Jacksonville is that the Jaguars are overpaying Nick Foles so he has more clout in the locker room.
Oh, is that how it goes? Well, Jalen Ramsey's not going to be happy about that.
Dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I mean, no, it does not work.
I'm saying Nick Foles in Jacksonville's not going to work.
No, but even beyond that, Nick Foles won't carry 1 ounce more clout because he's making more money than
he could pay for dinner.
I mean, come on.
You got to respect it. You got to respect the paycheck, Dale. Every time, you got to respect it. You got to look up to him. No, that's not going to work. I think Nick Foles is more of the guy, you know, if he's your backup and you got to throw him in, you're in good shape. In fact, great shape 2 years ago with the Eagles. But if he's the guy, he's had the opportunity in the past to be the guy, and it hasn't really worked out. And Jacksonville has their own issues on offense. I don't think Nick Foles is going to be the savior, but he got a pretty good contract, and he came up at the right time. I mean, you look at the free agents for quarterbacks, it was just him and Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor. I mean, that was not a very stacked group of quarterback free agents.
It just... they're doing what they do. It's like
you're still, I mean, you wanted Trey Flowers, though.
Oh, I was hoping,
that it probably was unlikely.
I mean, I love Trey Flowers. Yeah. I'd love to have had him here.
Yeah.
We knew he wasn't coming back.
Do you think we'll get Michael Bennett instead?
Instead of
Trey Flowers?
Oh, you mean on Mondays?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess not.
No, you don't think so?
I'm already putting the request in.
Ask him. He is not going to do a lot of media, I do not believe.
That would be a pretty fair guess on your part. Yeah.
That's not going to stop him from talking, though.
He spoke at Princeton yesterday.
That's true.
And he reportedly said that he has already informed the Patriots that he will be staying in the locker room for the national anthem. Now, that's the system that the NFL has now put in place.
Yeah.
What they've basically said is, if you're out on the field, you're not taking a knee, you're not doing anything. If you feel that you want to protest, quote unquote, you have to stay in the locker room. So he's doing what the NFL tells him to do.
So he's going to stay in the locker room. And so hopefully they're not kicking off, because it might, you know, he's got to run out there and make sure he gets out of the field. Like, oh, Michael, we only got 10 out there. Hold on a second.
They're going to base their coin flip strategy on...
Yeah, I guess we got to receive. Get Michael time to get out here. Some of these places, the locker room's kind of probably far away. Do you think Belichick is going to be upset about that, or just like slightly annoyed?
If he's telling the truth, and let's be honest,
you never know.
Michael Bennett and the truth have not always been, you know, close bedfellows.
That's fair.
But if he is telling the truth, he's already told them.
Yeah, I guess. I also wonder about the money part of it too. You know, just because Michael Bennett sounds like he wants more money, because when they first made the trade, you say, hey, well, that's a pretty good deal, you know, and you'd be able to just kind of cut him loose if things don't work out for you. Like, it seems like they're kind of relying on Michael Bennett a little bit as it stands right now. There's still months and months for them to build their roster, but you remove Trey Flowers. The guy that lined up on the other side of Trey Flowers was not super productive, no matter who it was. And now you're bringing in Michael Bennett. So he's going to have to be an important part of the team. I just can't imagine where, you know, it's team for, like, the Patriots were the first team ever to be introduced as a team. They ran out in the Super Bowl as a team.
And America loved them.
Loved it. They don't need the individual thing. They run out as a team. It's like, now we're running out as a team, with the exception of Michael Bennett, who's going to stay in the locker room until the anthem is over, and then he's going to come jogging out by himself. It just doesn't feel like a very Patriot thing to me.
You look at some of the moves that are being made, especially the early moves. They all seem predicated on who's going to give you the most money, who's going to give you the top dollar. And then every once in a while, a move will slip in under the radar, which just comes out of nowhere. Jane Slater is reporting that Teddy Bridgewater is expected now to re-sign with the New Orleans Saints, despite a bigger deal on the table from Miami.
That's odd.
She's told Bridgewater values the locker room culture and prospect of one day becoming the Saints starting quarterback. So this is one of the few guys who is not going after the top dollar.
That was weird. That was like when a lot of people were saying, maybe Garoppolo likes it in New England so much, he'll sign one of these bridge deals. Remember, that was like the whole thing. Like, that's not going to happen. But apparently Teddy Bridgewater, that is so odd. Like, what percentage of starting quarterbacks in the NFL would say, I'd be a backup? Unless he sees Drew Brees, with all the Tom Brady cliff talk, there was much more of a cliff second half of last season for Drew Brees. Like, some of the stats, I don't know if it's exactly week 8 or week 9, but there are some stats that really go against Drew Brees that maybe Bridgewater thinks, hey, I'll be the backup for one more year, and then this guy's going to be done, and I'd rather be in New Orleans than in Miami.
Now, if you want a dream, and it's probably...
I love to.
It's probably a false dream.
They say I'm a dreamer.
But you're not the only one.
That's right.
So, if you want to, Michael Lombardi tweeted out this morning, just talk to a team that is convinced if someone makes the Giants the right offer, Beckham will be traded, and Beckham has a very short list of where he wants to go. Now, I don't...
Patriots are on that list.
Well, it's clear they're on that list.
I would assume they're on that list.
But by the way, he doesn't get to tell them, no, I'm not going there. Well, trust me, he's going to report, given the... He just got paid last year.
Yeah,
just hit him with the big contract. He's going to show up and get his money.
I think he's going to show up. I don't think this is an Antonio Brown situation, or even a Gronk situation from last year, where they have like a de facto no trade clause because they can threaten to not show up or they can threaten to retire. I don't think 26-year-old Odell Beckham can do that. He's going to show up and he's going to go. But I think the Patriots would be a team that the Giants would be willing to deal with. You play him in the regular season once every 4 years, so he's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You're like, all right, you see you later. Although, is it this year? I think they do play each other this year, which would be pretty amazing.
Well, they play each other in the preseason every year.
Well, every year, right. But regular season, I think they play each other again, too. Isn't it the NFC East this year? I believe it is. So they would get Odell Beckham. But you get him out of there. You're not going to be competing with him, certainly in the division, or even in the conference for a playoff spot down the road. And if the Patriots make the best offer, you have to do it, right? If the Patriots offer the number 32 pick in the draft and maybe a couple of other things, a couple of other draft picks to get tossed in there, I think they would do it. And I hope the Patriots would consider it.
2019, Odell Beckham Jr.'s base salary is $16.75 million.
It's a pretty penny. He's
$4 million signing bonus, $250 workout bonus.
$250,000.
Yeah.
Like $250. He's like, I'm going to skip that
His cap hit for this year is $21
million. I know. But who are you paying?
But it does go down to $19.25 next year.
Bargain. You get him for a song next year. We got to talk to, Miguel from Pat's Cap? How can they get Odell Beckham right now? Could they sign him right now? Could they make that happen?
I believe they could.
I think they could, right?
Who might not be able to do anything else, but...
Do you think there'd be a problem on the team if he was the highest paid player? Because I don't know.
Only if Brady had a problem.
Right, that'd be the only guy that would really have a real
beef. He would be the one
beef.
Guy who could say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, that would be the one guy
I've been here for 20 years, gave you 6 Super Bowls, and you're going to give this guy more money than me?
Right.
At which point, you got to readjust Tom Brady's contract here.
Yeah, I would say so.
His cap hit is $21 million. I would say, you know, the whole idea of Brady's cap is to try to lower it, but cash is different. Odell Beckham Jr.'s cash this year is $17
million. Okay, yeah. So that's like because Gronk is $9 million cash, 11.6 against the cap. So
Brady's cash this year would have to be higher than that.
Yeah, and it probably will be. I think something's going to get done in the summer, and we're going to see some sort of new deal for Brady. Maybe it's a 2-year extension, whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised. Lower the cap number, give him more real money. That could happen. But they need wide receivers. There's no doubt.
Oh,
they have one wide receiver.
They got in a bidding war for one yesterday, apparently.
Yeah, they wanted Adam Humphries.
Stop me if you've heard this.
Yeah.
A white slot receiver.
Oh, Dale, please.
I know that's how he was described.
Well, that's very narrow-minded. I just see him as a wide receiver out there. He had a good year for Tampa. We had a caller bring him up yesterday.
Isn't the one wide receiver you have coming back a slot wide receiver?
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best.
So why'd you get in a bidding war for this?
I don't know, Dale. Are there two slots? You ever seen a field? There's two slots out there?
They don't generally do a lot of two-slot offense.
Don't need that. Although, I mean, Edelman and Amendola could play on the outside a little bit, and that worked out when they were both out there. But either way, it sounded like they wanted him, and I don't know what the final dollar amount was for their
offer.
$9 million. So that's a pretty aggressive offer. It's not, you know, Odell Beckham money, but he's also not Odell Beckham the player. So you know that they're willing to spend some money at that position. And I don't know, that signing would have been good, but I don't think anybody would have gotten all fired up about it. I still want Golden Tate. Golden Tate's out there. Tyrell Williams is out there. There's a few other guys that pretty good as free agents, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made a trade.
Now, Teddy Bruschi tweeted out just a few minutes ago, defense wins championships, with a bunch of bags of money under the tweet.
It did this last year.
So if that's the case, then Odell Beckham Jr. is not the direction you want to go to spend all that money, right?
Well,
if you believe, and Teddy Bruschi's got a pretty good track record on this stuff.
But is your defense better today or worse today than it was?
Well, right now it's worse.
Yeah. So
you can't be spending your money on Odell Beckham Jr., you got to spend your money on rebuilding that defense.
So, I mean, I guess it depends on what guys are available. Like, what player do you think could do that? Otherwise, I mean, you look at it, they scored 13 points in the Super Bowl. So you could also say, hey, you need to, you know, that was a great defensive game plan, but you also could maybe use a little bit more offense, especially when you take away some of the pieces from this past year's team. And it's another year of Gronk. Can Edelman do this again, another year older? So, yeah, sure, defense wins championships, fine. Although I think in the NFL, overall, offenses, I mean, you saw the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
And I think you could say offenses wins championships.
Yeah, nobody was going to stop anybody.
Like this year, you're right. Teddy's right. It was 13-3. Defense won that championship. I feel like offenses typically, over the last handful of years, have come out on top. But they're going to spend their money. It's just fascinating to wait and
they
see what
they spend.
Yeah, they do. How are they going
to
do it?
They keep some sort of a fund available to them because inevitably injuries happen. You've got to make adjustments. They're not stupid with it, but they always spend. That was the other false narrative around here for years and years. Oh, they're never spending all their money. It's just Bob Kraft putting it into his pocket. Yeah, because they're not very successful either, right?
Yeah, it is. It's hard to, like, the off season, Dale, is now like the new first month of the season. Like, I think people have really come around on if they're 2-2 or 1-3, you can't lose your mind. You just can't, because there's too many examples of them responding from that and still going at worst 11-5. Usually better, but at worst 11-5. And the same thing should be applied to the off season. They see a lot of their guys sign for big dollars, Nate Solder, Trent Brown, whoever. They still find a way to make up for it. And not to say that every single guy that is left, they shouldn't have kept, right? You know, you go back to when they traded away Deion Branch. In hindsight, they probably should have kept Deion Branch. That was also 15 years ago, it was. So,
well, I'm not saying they're flawless.
No, they're not. But overall, I mean, it's you can't argue with the results.
Overall, they are what every other team in the NFL wants to be. And if that means getting some sun in Barbados on the first day of free agency, I'm going to suggest that perhaps he's still got his finger on the pulse here.
Now, next summer, next spring, Barbados is going to be full with NFL presidents
all
and owners
looking for
and
him.
GMs. Just walking around like, this is the key to success. Got to go on vacation during NFL free agency.
Well, you've got NFL free agency day two. No, the legal tampering period day two.
That's right.
Can't make contracts official until tomorrow at 4.
Right.
But when Trey Flowers says goodbye to Patriots fans on Instagram, I think you can probably take it to the bank that one's done, right? Holding up the WWE championship belt.
I would say, yeah. Instagram is really when it becomes official now.
I mean, that's what happened with Antonio Brown announced his move on Instagram.
That's what he
Trey Flowers said goodbye to Patriots fans on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's become the Stacey James of the new age.
That is. That's where to go.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll dive into some NFL and Patriots talk with you coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Okay, I asked you last month. I'll ask you this month because it's March now. We turn the page in the calendar. What about Gronk? Any update at all on the decision he's yet to make?
I talked to Rob last night, man. He won't even tell me. He said he hasn't made a decision yet. He is healthy, which I'm excited to say. He's feeling a lot better. He played through an injury in the Super Bowl. What else is new for that beast? So tough, and the quad is healthy now. Personally, I just want what's best for Rob. I said, Rob, take your time. Do what you believe in. He's already the all-time greatest tight end. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's never been a tight end like this guy. The sky's the limit for him. If he comes back to play, fantastic. I honestly don't know. I'm waiting to see like everybody else.
All right, first of all, do you believe anything Drew Rosenhaus ever says?
Yes. He said Gronk played through an injury in the Super Bowl. I believe that because Gronk's always hurt. Everything else? No. Nope. Bob Sugar, I do not believe what he has to say.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting to hear him say it. He's very passionate about his players, which I've always respected. He'll talk up every single guy. And a lot of that stuff, like he thinks he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Great. I do too. I think that's all that stuff is great. I still think it's a negotiation. Like, I don't know if you've changed how you feel about it, Dale, but I think that Gronk would be willing to come back at the right price and also maybe the right set of circumstances. So, but he's also, I think, would be willing to retire. And I think Drew Rosenhaus maybe doesn't know what Gronk's official decision is, but he also knows that it may be up to the Patriots ultimately whether or not he comes back.
Because I agree with you that I don't believe much of what Drew Rosenhaus says. I don't think he's telling the truth here. I think Gronk knows, Rosenhaus knows. I think he's coming back because if you were going to retire, this could have been done long ago. In the aftermath of the Super Bowl, he said he was going to take a couple of weeks and, you know, think about it and get his mind straight. Well, that was 5 weeks ago.
Right. So why hasn't he said anything?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's a negotiation. I think they're trying to figure out maybe the Patriots want him to take less or maybe he wants more. And maybe they end up settling on what the actual contract is. I don't know. Maybe they're like, hey, we'll play for the $9 million this year, but I don't want to practice on Wednesdays or whatever it might be. That's the only thing I can think of because at this point, I feel like Gronk would have made some sort of decision. Because if you also go back, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, Drew Rosenhaus was doing an interview talking about Antonio Brown. And one of the questions that got brought up is, hey, what's going on with Gronk? And he said, well, I don't want to make any, put any words in his mouth, but I think maybe 2 weeks. That timeline has sailed by. So we are waiting. Maybe Belichick needs to come back from Barbados and maybe they need to sit down and talk about it. I'm not sure what's going on, but the fact that we've gotten no decisions, something has to be up.
It just seems so simple, isn't it? Yay is a little more complicated because, as you point out, maybe there's a negotiation going on.
Well, that's
retire's
it.
Easy. Retire's. Oh, you know what? I've accomplished all I can accomplish.
If you think he's coming back, then the reason why the delay is happening is because there is a negotiation, then, right? Because
yes.
If he was, because if he was just coming back for the $9 million. And the Patriots were okay with that. I think by now he would have posted on Instagram, or he and Brady would have come up with something, and they would have been like, "Hey, coming back, we're gonna repeat or whatever." They would have done something like that.
I feel very strongly that Gronk knows, and B, Tom Brady really knows, and I think Belichick knows. It's just a question, I guess, of whether or not Belichick or Caserio and Rosenhaus can reach some sort of an agreement that pushes this thing forward.
Well, I think, if anything, the price just went up. If Devin Funchess is making $13 million, and I know this has always been an argument for Drew Rosenhaus, Rob Gronkowski, even going back to when Jimmy Graham got franchised years ago and wanted to be franchised as a receiver, not a tight end. Tight ends don't make as much as receivers. It's one thing for the top-end receivers to make what they do, but it's even the next tier or two tiers down still make more than the best tight ends. And I know Gronk's not the best tight end as it relates to receiving numbers and touchdowns anymore.
His numbers were down this year.
Yeah, he's not Travis Kelce. He's not Zach Ertz. He's not George Kittle. But he's still a solid player. He's still a lot better than Devin freaking Funchess. So I would think that he would want more money, or at the very least, he wants to make sure that he's not taking any kind of a pay cut. And I don't know if the Patriots, who already just cut loose Dwayne Allen, if they look at 11.6 cap hit and they say, you know what, we'd kind of like to lower that. And Gronk and Rosenhaus say, no, either you get him at this rate or he's willing to walk away.
By the way, one of the things that Michael Bennett said at Princeton yesterday is that he thinks the idea of Martellus Bennett coming out of retirement and joining his brother in New England is probably fake news.
Well, we'll see.
His phrase, not mine.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. You never know.
Well, as we said, Michael Bennett and the truth don't always have a symbiotic relationship.
Right. Take the opposite of everything he says and you might be onto something.
I mean, first of all, I could see him trying to set that aside just for Martellus's sake. You know, hey, don't put that pressure on me. You know, I don't even know yet what I'm going to do. And
right. I don't know what Martellus has left in the tank. You know, he was fighting those injuries in Green Bay. And then remember, he got into that whole feud with the training staff there in Green Bay. It got pretty ugly. Remember, he had all these Instagram posts about it. And then you had guys like Jordy Nelson defending the Green Bay staff. Everywhere he's been, with the exception of New England, it has ended really poorly. He's trashed everybody. Remember, he trashed Jason Witten. He trashed, I think, Jay Cutler, everybody. New England has been fine. So if there was one place he was going to go back, it would be New England. But he's 32. He didn't play all of last season. So I wouldn't hold
that
hope.
So he's fresh.
Yeah, that's it. That's
what
he is.
He's well rested.
Right.
He's ready to go.
He is.
So was he just joking around with Gronk in the Instagram video?
Probably.
Or did he kind of half think, hey, you know what?
Well, he was joking around before Michael was traded, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So maybe it was.
Although they may have known
true.
At that point that this was in the works.
Maybe. Although one of his first tweets when Michael got traded was like all eyeballs and all whatever else. So I don't know if he knew or if he didn't know or whatever, but.
Hold on, Gronk. Your boy's on the way, Gronk. Hold on, Gronk. Your boy's on the way, Gronk. Put the Robin signal in the air, Batman.
I feel like maybe that was like a half joke. And then when they acquired Michael, he was like, well, wait a minute. Maybe this can actually really work out.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think you'd consider it for sure. I just wonder if he's any good anymore.
Would he be as good as Dwayne Allen?
I don't think he'd be as good of a blocker. As much as we would make fun of Dwayne Allen
he probably
wouldn't be as good as that. But I guarantee you he would catch more passes. That's a Rich Keefe guarantee.
Right off the street, he would catch more
first
passes.
Two games, probably, he would catch more passes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's get to the calls with you guys. Anthony's in Mattapan. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. First of all, Dale, you are the greatest. I believe you are the godfather of WEEI, and it is a pleasure to me speaking to you.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say is, I do not understand why these owners pay all this money for these free agents and knowing that they're not going to make the playoffs. This is why the New England Patriots stand above everyone else, because they do not pay the big contracts, and it shows that they're using that money to sign free agents or making draft picks.
But, Anthony, what about a couple of years ago when they signed Stephon Gilmore and they gave him a ton of money and that worked out?
Well, Stephon Gilmore is different because when you have a defense that's shutting down the team's best offensive player, that's where you put the money at. You don't put the money on a lineman. You don't put the money. I mean, the money Trey Flowers is getting, God bless him.
Right.
But that is a lot of money. You know how much money the Patriots would use for $17 million?
How much?
They pick up four or five players with that money.
So you're happy that Trey Flowers is gone?
No, I wish he could have stayed.
Yeah. Just too much. Okay. What if they traded for Odell Beckham and gave him $21 million a year?
Who would you give up?
Draft picks.
You know what? On that note, I go for it because they're only giving up draft choices.
All right, there you go. There you go, Dale.
But what about the money, Anthony?
No,
it's a lot of money.
If the Patriots spend big money, they do it smart.
Okay.
If the other teams do it, they're dumb.
It's a lot of money, Mr. Arnold, but, come on. Mr. Belichick,
right.
He knows how to get around draft picks.
That's right.
So, thank you. I mean,
thank you.
If Beckham come here, I would love it.
I would love it too, Anthony. I would absolutely love it. That's good stuff.
Look, Odell Beckham Jr. might be the most exciting wide receiver in football. I'm not saying he's the best wide receiver. He makes some catches sometimes that just defy logic.
Insane.
Now, he's also a bit of a head case.
A little bit. He's had some some issues. Maybe he's matured.
I don't think he
was so young when he did those things.
Yeah, well, no, he's been doing them all along.
No, I know. He was young, though. Now he's old. Yeah,
like,
he's old. Yes, he's mature now. He's, what, he's 26? He's a full-grown man now. But that is
now,
sort of the
like
point.
Now, you'd like to think, with the little googly eyes infatuation that he and Tom Brady have had for each other all offseason, that he's just begging for the opportunity to catch passes greatest of all time.
Look how good he's been with Eli Manning. And Eli Manning, I know he's had a couple of good playoff runs, but for the most part, is not a great quarterback. And Odell Beckham has put up some wild numbers as soon as he came into the league with Eli. So if he had Tom Brady, who knows what he'd be capable of. But that is sort of the point. I mean, Anthony's first point, well, first of all, he loved Dale. Huge Dale fan.
Thank you.
As big a Dale fan as we've heard from, Rossi?
Godfather. There you go.
Dale, you are the greatest. I believe you are the godfather of WEEI, and it is a pleasure to me speaking to you.
Somewhere Eddie Edelman cries.
Glenn Ornway's going, what? No.
He's like, hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey.
No way. But his point about teams being dumb in free agency, you do see it every year.
Especially the early stages.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit's gone crazy.
Detroit's losing their minds. The Redskins do it all the time. The Raiders have done it in years past. You know, the teams that win the offseason. Remember a few years ago when it was the Philadelphia Eagles? They went, not the year that they won the Super Bowl. Years before that, they went nuts. They were calling themselves the Dream Team. They spent $1 zillion. Didn't win anything. So that does happen a lot, but it's a weird spot to be in, because if you're a bad team and you have a lot of cap space, what are you supposed to do? Not sign these guys? I mean, there are bad contracts, but you should still go out there if you have the means to do it and try to improve your team. Now, I feel like giving Trent Brown the most money ever for an offensive lineman, that to me already seems like it's going to be a bad deal. Giving Trey Flowers a ton of money?
I promise you right now, they will cut Trent Brown like 2 years into this.
Yeah, I don't know if they cut him.
They will.
They might.
They're going to say, we've got to get out from under this.
Like, Trey Flowers, to me, seems like you will get bang for your buck. And he'll be a solid pro for 5 years there in Detroit. I don't know if he brings you to the playoffs or anything, but I think you have that position covered. And if you're Matt Patricia, you're trying to run your defense there, you know that he can do it. I think that's a good signing. But some of these other ones are just kind of all over the place. And like Jacksonville, so they drafted Blake Bortles, but third overall 5 years ago, and they've had him, and their offense can only go so far, and now they're investing $20 million a year in Nick Foles for 4 years. It's like, that's not going to be the answer either. And then that's when teams kind of really hamstring themselves.
And oh, by the way, Nick Foles doesn't always play like he did in the Super Bowl.
No, he doesn't.
Like sometimes,
that was a great run, though.
Sometimes last year he didn't play quite so well.
Nope, he had a couple struggles.
He's certainly better than Blake Bortles.
He's better than Bortles. So that's just the bar then, I guess. Right? If you're Jackson, he's better than Bortles. Let's bring him in here. It's like,
that's what we'll go for.
Yeah.
As NFL personnel guys are looking at their list, they're saying, well, is he better than Bortles?
Is he better than Bortles?
Okay, get him in here.
It's like the Mendoza line.
That's all you're looking for. Dylan's on the cell phone. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hey.
I'm calling to speak to the Godfather, Ian.
Dale's, the Godfather's here. Yeah,
sorry, sorry.
Oh, good. I have the right number.
Yeah.
No, seriously, so I'm calling about the Odell situation. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, hypothetically, if they bring him in, how does he fit in the Patriots locker room? And secondly, to quote IT, do we back up the Brinks truck?
I would. For Odell Beckham, I would give him, well, I mean, you just have to give him the current deal that he's on. He's not going to want more than that. He just recently signed a monster new deal. So I personally would, and I think the locker room is in, I don't think any one player could screw up the Patriots locker room. I really don't. And I think around the league.
No, I mean, you're bringing Michael Bennett in, for crying out loud.
Yeah, right. And I just think the amount of respect that every player, even the guys who are 20, 21, or I guess that's, or 22, 23, all those guys in the league respect the hell out of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Think about what players have said about Brady. Like every year on the NFL Network, they do that thing where the players vote on the top 100 players. Brady's like always number one. They love Brady. And you've heard the comments. What did Michael Bennett call Belichick yesterday? The Yoda of football or something? Like they have so much respect for those guys that, and they've brought in a lot of big personalities, and they've been fine. So I think Odell Beckham, I think, would fit in nicely here. Now, you never know. Some of these guys, the shelf life isn't always great. Like Randy Moss, burned really hot, was great for a couple years, specifically the 1 year. Then Brady got hurt. He was still decent that year. And then the next thing you know, it was over with. But for a year or two, a couple years, like, well, I think it would absolutely work.
The Odell Beckham contract that he signed a year ago, 5 years, $90 million, $20 million signing bonus, average salary of $18 million, guaranteed money, $40,959,000. Total guaranteed is $65 million, becomes a free agent unrestricted after 2024.
So, not to get all caught up in all this stuff. So if it's 60, it's 60 something guaranteed, and they already gave him 20 of it or more than that, right?
Yep.
So you're looking at maybe half of that still remaining on his deal that you'd have to pay him. He's young. It was 2 years ago. He had that bad ankle injury, missed a bunch of games. But
is there a comparison to be made to when they brought in Randy Moss with the reputation Randy Moss had? You know, hey, this guy can be a problem guy, you know, and Belichick said, no problem, bring him in here. And he fits seamlessly. I mean,
yeah,
Belichick loved him. Brady loved him.
The big difference here would be Odell Beckham is a lot younger than when they brought in Randy Moss.
Yeah, I'm just talking about in terms of the perceived attitude problems. And
yeah, maybe. I mean, Randy Moss, I mean, they both, yeah, nothing, like, I don't know. I mean, Randy Moss definitely had the label of, you know, he had a few off-field stuff, but wasn't it mostly like weed and stupid stuff like that? And then he was obviously a guy, they showed him walking off the field early once. There were some like immaturity issues, I guess you could say, with both of those guys. But yeah, you show up day one with Brady, and think about that. The amount of respect that Brady commanded then in 07, it's only been 12 years, multiple MVPs and multiple Super Bowls later, the same head coach. I think Odell Beckham, yeah, maybe it is similar to that a little bit, and those guys certainly worked. Again, maybe you don't get every single game out of him for the next, what is he, 4 years left on his deal?
Yep.
Maybe there's a chance that it doesn't work out for that, but I don't even think Brady plays 4 years. So if Brady plays two more years and you have Odell Beckham with him for 2 years, I will sign up for that.
617-779-7937. Paul's in Abington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm calling about Gronk, but just a quick question, just so we understand, even as fans, what part of the contract then when a player signs goes towards the team's salary cap?
It's so screwy. I don't even, because they all have different real money and cap money numbers. It's honestly, you'd need to take a course on it, I think.
No, the reason I'm asking is, as a fan, I'm thinking to myself, if just, we'll use $10 million as a number.
Yeah.
A guy gets a $10 million contract, but say, for sake of argument, five of it's guaranteed, and then five is say the salary for that season. So my brain tells me, especially on 1 or 2 year deals, why wouldn't you make everything so top heavy for the guaranteed part, and then that enables you to still go out and get, you know, some better players on the salary cap.
Yeah, and the Patriots do that as well as anybody, as far as like manipulating the cap. And Belichick's even talked about that, and that's why you might get these extensions, you might get signing bonuses, you might get all that stuff. Because every deal, it's so stupid. Like, just do what the other sports do: make the contracts guaranteed.
Make contracts contracts.
It's so stupid. And then with like
NFL
the dead
players
cap
have
money,
just,
and
have just taken it for so
it's
many.
So
years.
Bad because every time it's the only sport where you have to look at two numbers. Like, this guy made $100 million. You're like, wow, $100 million. Like, well, no, he made $37 million guaranteed. You're like, ugh. And then some guys, like, it's just so confusing and dumb that some guys can get cut, no ramifications, gone, see you later, don't owe him a penny. Other guys get cut, and now like the Brown or the Steelers
Brown,
are paying
yeah.
the Browns. Like, so you're like, why is it like that? I don't know. Yeah, you'd have to pass the bar to figure that stuff out.
I'm going to need a few moments to process this.
Uh-oh.
When we come back.
What's the problem?
It's a concerning story.
I don't doubt it.
It involves Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky?
I'll tell you about it when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
DEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
This just makes me sad. So we're getting word this morning. Pete Williams, NBC News, is among those on the byline of this thing. A large-scale scheme to cheat on college entrance exams has been busted by the FBI and federal prosecutors in Boston, according to court documents that they unsealed today. The alleged scheme focused on getting students admitted to elite universities as recruited athletes, regardless of their athletic abilities, and helping potential students cheat on their college exams, according to the indictment. The plot involved students who attended or were seeking to attend Georgetown, Stanford, UCLA, San Diego, USC, Texas, Wake Forest, Yale, among others.
Wow.
And among the people who have been arrested or charged, Hollywood actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin.
Excuse me?
Aunt Becky.
What is she doing now?
Has been charged by the FBI. They are two of over 40 people who are being charged in this college exam scheme.
So she's just trying to get kids into college? Is that what she's doing?
She's charged with conspiracy to commit mail fraud.
This doesn't make any sense.
And honest services mail fraud. They're portraying these students as having athletic backgrounds that they don't have. They're cheating on
like
college
loophole.
Entrance exams.
It's like when Derrick Rose gets somebody to take his SATs.
Aunt Becky?
What is her problem? Why would she care about this?
She obviously to make money.
She's in every Hallmark movie too. She's
every single one.
Single one of them.
Trust me, the entire month of December.
Is that what you guys
the
watch?
The whole Thanksgiving to Christmas period is my wife's Hallmark movie period.
She's
in all of them.
She looks just as good now as she did when she was on Full House.
I don't know how
maybe
she'll
better.
Look after a little time in Stir.
No,
but
I know. Well, this is a bad thing. And then Felicity Huffman is married to William H. Macy, the actor. She was on Desperate Housewives, that old show. That is very
odd. By the
odd.
Way, several NCAA Division I college coaches have been charged as well.
So are they just like making up people? They're like, hey, this doesn't make any sense to me. So they would get a scholarship to play a sport or something, and then they get in there and then they don't exist?
But then
they go to school anyway?
According to the indictment here in Boston, the scandal involves the facilitation of getting students admitted to elite universities as recruited athletes.
Right. But then they're not athletes, though.
No. And
but that wouldn't work. I don't understand because, so let's say John Calipari is recruiting players. He meets them in person and talks to them in person and then tells the school, these are the guys that we want. So how can you do that? I don't understand how this works. Even the football players, that doesn't work that way.
So Tom Winter from NBC News tweeted out, court documents show that the FBI recorded phone calls with both Huffman and Loughlin and a cooperating witness where they discussed the scheme.
Yeah, people are always scheming. People have got something up their sleeves.
Not Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky, criminal. Turns out, criminal.
That just makes me
so
sad.
So what, would she get money from these people?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And then so what would she do?
You're going to pay us. Oh, we're going to get you into Stanford.
But as a fake athlete, like I have a feeling, was it David Shaw's their football coach? I feel like he would go and talk to all the players. They wouldn't have like a go like, hey, they interview well. Oh, Felicity Huffman called. She really gave the person a glowing recommendation. This story doesn't make any sense to me.
She's getting charged with mail fraud today.
Mail fraud. Why would she bother? Like, how much money is really to be made in this?
Isn't she still getting checks from Full House?
Oh, yeah. Fuller House now, too, right?
Well, that, too.
She's...
And as you pointed out, every Hallmark movie ever made.
She's a working actress. Like, she's in all these stupid movies nonstop. And now she's got a little side business, a little side hustle
well,
there.
Well, she did. I'm not sure she has it anymore because...
I should have given her...
Oh, mercy.
I wish I gave her a call about 17 years ago. I could have done better than Hobart.
She'd have got you into Yale.
Yeah, seriously.
And then you'd have gotten in there and went, oh, God, now what do I do?
Now what do I do? Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. I got to do this?
Does she keep taking tests for you, or how does that work?
Presumably not.
Fail mysteries.
Well, that may have to be put on hold. That might be on hiatus.
Garage sale mysteries may take a little break.
Like, what are these? Like, all those, like, a lot of SATs. What is this? What is the SAT prep course? Like, I don't worry about that. I don't know why that's there. That is weird.
Man.
She was also in Every Christmas Has a Story. She was in North Pole, open for Christmas.
North Pole was the name of a town.
Is that right?
She's in like Colorado, I think.
Yeah, did you see that? She played Mackenzie Warren.
She always plays.
I was going to say Mackenzie Warren is probably the character name in every movie she's in.
It's just the same in all of them. Yeah. And to your point, she still looks like she's on Full House.
I think she looks better. Not that that's important.
She has aged gracefully, is what
she's
saying.
Very gracefully.
It's just the style. Like, 90s style. Like, obviously, these women were very attractive, but, like, they take it to that next level. When she was on, like, 90210, redo, and now Fuller House, got it going on.
She was good in that reboot 90210. She's 54 years old. And now, in the slammer.
Well, she hasn't been convicted
yet. Well, there
yet.
Seems like a lot of evidence against her, Dale.
The recorded phone calls might be a little tough to explain away.
We got to track those phone calls down. We got to hear what
we're working on a Robert Kraft video back here, and now a recorded phone call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Felicity Huffman, get all of our Lori best people Loughlin. On it. Yeah, let's get on that. All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Hold on. Get you out speaker.
Oh, that'd be great. You ready?
Yep.
Just make sure you hit the right button there. We don't want to lose. Yeah.
Right. the guy that called earlier about all these other teams that are spending all this money on free agency. First off, the 2007 and 2017 Patriots, they went out and spent some money on free agents. At 2017, remember, everyone at the beginning of the season thought we were going to go undefeated. You know, we picked up Brandon Cooks and, I forgot the cornerback. We got
Gilmore. Gilmore. No, I said Gilmore to the caller, and he liked that move. He said he liked that move, but the other teams are dumb.
And the thing that drives me crazy is, there's still 11 guys in the field. It's not like you paid this guy a bunch of money, and now you play shorthanded like hockey, and you still have 53 guys on the field. The only thing is, you're paying like your 53rd or 52nd player less. That's
right. They'll pay guys. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know why it's sort of reported or covered that they don't really pay, but they do. You look around, and
they paid Gilmore. They had one of the highest paid kickers in the game.
Right. But even at times, like, again, Logan Mankins and Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo and then Dante Hightower. I mean, look at Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, and Stephon Gilmore. And look at where those guys rank at their respective positions, right? And then some of their D linemen have been guys that they drafted. So last year, Trey Flowers was still on his rookie deal. Malcolm Brown was still on his rookie deal. But they went out there. They gave Adrian Claiborne maybe more money than he deserves, but they're willing to throw some money there. They're going to do it this year with Michael Bennett. We'll see who they bring back.
Although that contract doesn't seem that out of line.
No, I think that's fine. I think it's fine. Now, he wants more money. If they can keep it where it's at, I think it's pretty good. But it's not like they're just going for cheap guys across the board. But what really kills you in that league is when you invest so much money in a guy that you don't get the return on. And that's why you're looking around right now and you say, are the Raiders really going to get all pro? Because you're paying Trent Brown to be an all pro now. Are you going to get all pro play at a Trent Brown for the next 4 years? I doubt it.
Probably not.
And those are the ones that kill you.
2 years into this thing, Oakland's going to be going, we got to get a while.
He might be.
We got to move on from this guy. Dice is down on the Cape. Hey, Dice.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
What's going on?
So Odell Beckham's not coming to New England.
Come on.
Never going to happen.
You're making a sound.
Why not?
Need him.
Why not?
Josh Gordon's option just got picked up. Goodell owes us one. He's going to get a four-game suspension. Well,
four-game?
Oh, yeah, because Roger Goodell thinks he owes the Patriots anything.
He owes us one.
But, Dice, why would it be four games after he's already been suspended for a whole season before, and now he just had another offense?
Okay, we'll give him five.
Okay, yeah, up at the five. All right, fine.
But all seriousness, Odell's not coming. What about Michael Crabtree?
Yeah, I'm not wild about Michael Crabtree. I want Golden Tate.
How about both of them?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're going to need to fill out. You're not wrong. I mean, they need to fill out the wide receiver position. And they were willing to. We always, and Dale, you kind of opened up by saying the Patriots usually sit out the first day of free agency. Well,
usually the first week or so.
I know, but if the Titans didn't pay up for Adam Humphries, the Patriots would have been involved in day one. So they.
I didn't say it's across the board, but generally speaking, they don't drop their line into this first week of free agency.
But they were at least interested enough in, and they realized that, hey, you know, this guy's not going to be sitting on the market very long, so if we want Adam Humphries, you got to make an aggressive, make a push for him. Now, this was Mike Reese. Mike Reese tweeted this out. I think this must be part of his article, but I found this pretty interesting. He said, the Patriots' pursuit of free agent slot wide receiver Adam Humphries highlights how the team was considering a notable financial investment on the first day that teams were allowed to legally negotiate. With Humphries signing with the Titans, 4 years, $36 million, the question is where the Patriots go from here. The next layer at slot receiver on the market includes Golden Tate, Cole Beasley, and John Brown. One detail of note, if the Patriots pursue free agents whose contracts would come in higher than Julian Edelman's $5.5 million per season, that could create a challenging dynamic in the locker room. So any notable free agent move for a wide receiver could create a domino effect that sparks movement on an extension upgrade for Edelman as well. Because if they gave Adam Humphries $9 million and you have the Super Bowl MVP making $5.5 million, that's not going to fly, is it?
Understand that one.
So don't you think he's going to make more money next year? Because they're going to have to add 2, 3, maybe 4 receivers, and they're not all going to make less than $5.5 million.
Right, right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, when you're looking at what they're going to spend money on, some of it might be a little bit more for Edelman.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.